Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show. We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Good day and welcome to you wherever you are. You are listening to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. I am Frankie Picasso and I'm your host today. And I have a very special surprise, and you can trust me because it's April the 2nd, not April the 1st, so no fooling today. I have a special co-host joining me. Her name is Gina Woods. You may remember her. She is the founder of Owie Bow Wowie, the gift of comfort disguised as a toy. Owie Bow Wowie is one of the core projects here at the Grid Radio Network, and we love to give him ongoing support. I asked Gina to be my co-host today for several reasons. One, she's the mom of a vet. Two, she's the author of Onward by Faith, A Mother's Journey to Iraq and Back. She's the mastermind behind the new project titled I'm Going campaign. And wow, Gina, it's so great to have you in the co-pilot seat today.
Thank you, Frankie. It's fun to be here, and I'm excited to, you know, to meet your new guest today.
Yeah. Is there any announcements or anything you want to tell us about ongoing? Because I did make a mention of it about 2 weeks ago. I said it's coming, but I can't tell you anything about it. But now we can talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, actually, I'm going as a new program that we're setting up. And what we're doing is we're looking for all the individuals like your guests, you know, people that go out in their community and they help veterans, whether it's helping them with PTSD, whether it's, you know, it's feeding the homeless, whether it's, you know, helping them find jobs, whether it's giving them, you know, rides to their doctor appointments. It's just we're putting together a campaign of people that go out in their community to make a difference within their community. So I'm really excited about this. We're getting ready to really launch it in the next couple of weeks. So
that was a great video. Great video you did. I'm going.
Oh,
can people
yeah,
see that on YouTube?
That was really fun. Yeah, there's quite a few people that saw it. So we're still getting it out there, and we're looking for people that want to participate, and we'll add them to the video. So yeah, this is going to be a really fun thing. Really fun.
Okay,
thing.
And how can they get in touch with you if they want to do that?
They could actually just go to the Facebook page. And
okay.
Join us at I'm Going.
Perfect. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, in addition to Gina being my co-host today, I do have a wonderful guest. Joining us in the studio is retired Navy and National Guard veteran. And his dog, Molly, Ron Leonard, is here with us. He may have retired from the military, but he and Molly are still involved in his ministry to help soldiers and their families with PTSD through the North American Mission Board as Mission Service Corps, and that's something that Ron does with his wife, Marilyn, as well. And since training Molly as a therapy dog, she helps folks in so many ways. Every day, she does stuff from working with seniors, assisting in domestic violence cases, and even going to camp with kids with disabilities. So stay with us. We'll get a little bit more in depth about what a therapy dog is, all the amazing things that Molly does, and more about what we can do to help Ron and Marilyn with their ministry work. So please welcome Ron Leonard. Welcome, Ron.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Thank you. It's so good to have you here and Molly, too. And here she's sitting right beside you. And I just love that she gets to participate in the program because it's kind of all about her.
Yeah,
Molly,
really, it is. It is definitely all about her.
Yeah. Well, you know, our dogs become our, you know, the focal point of every home, really.
Sure.
Molly recently won Volunteer the Dog of the Year Award. Can you tell us about
yes,
that?
Yes, Molly was Molly has just gone over her now actually her 350th visit now.
Wow.
And she was at Donaldson Rehabilitation Center, and they had a special volunteer gathering, and Molly was voted as Volunteer of the Year. We actually have a picture in our office with her and me. As the picture that you have on the website is us, and that is just so neat. Molly was able to get that, and it was kind of neat, and she just kind of just, you know, just enjoyed it, sat there and smiled.
Oh, that's so cute. You know, I titled one of the pieces, My Therapist Has Four Legs. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the difference between a therapy dog and a service dog.
Okay, a service animal is covered by what you would call the Disabilities Act, which means that a service animal can go anywhere. A service animal is something that assists somebody. Say they have seizures, say they have PTSD, maybe severe PTSD where they need an animal beside them. C&I dogs are considered service animals, and those kind of animals are covered by the Disabilities Act, so they can go anywhere, anytime, and nobody can ever kick them out. A service dog is a little different. I mean, a therapy dog is a little different. A therapy dog is considered a comfort dog. We like to call it with Canines for Christ a ministry of presence, and that's what Molly does. And Molly can go pretty much anywhere she wants outside of eating establishments. So Molly is able to go mostly everywhere with me, but she is considered a comfort dog and not a service dog. So she is not really trying to help anybody with a disability, but she may cross-pollinate over into somewhere and help them with a disability because of just the very fact that she's been trained to comfort people.
And how does she comfort people?
Okay, she'll go, like we were at the we have an opportunity on Monday and Tuesdays to go to MEPS, which is considered the military interest processing. Mm-hmm. It's where men and women enter our military in the United States, and also their families are there. And Molly will just go and just greet the young men and women that are there. They'll pet her. We had one Marine a few weeks ago that just petted her for about an hour. He was so nervous and everything, and he just kept petting her and petting her and petting her. And then Molly does that. Molly goes to what we call the Hope Lodge, which is a cancer treatment center with the American Cancer Society, and Molly will just be with them so they can pet the dog just basically in between their treatments. We go to assisted living centers. Molly also will sometimes go to Fort Campbell, which is the home of the 101st Airborne, and she can be around some of the soldiers that are suffering with PTSD, and they just have the opportunity to pet Molly and just be comforted by what Molly does.
Wow. Gina, I mean, that sounds like such a great cross between you and Ron with Owie.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, Ron, I have a nonprofit. We design toys for kids in hospitals, and our main toy is called an Owie Bow Wowie.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it's a dog because there's some places where, as you know, real live dogs can't go.
You're right.
Because, depending on the fur and stuff like that. And so
yeah, and we deal in the United States, maybe in Canada too, we deal with the HIPAA law, and, you know, it's kind of, that can sometimes stop animals from going in and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good. It doesn't matter where you go, even if the kids can see them through the hall, because I've seen, you know, children be on one side of the glass, and I've seen, you know, the therapy dogs come through, and they'll hold them up through the window, and the kids absolutely light up. So just their presence, you know, sometimes is enough to, you know, to help heal a child. It's amazing what a smile can do, you know, as far as healing goes. So I love what you're doing.
It really does, you know, Frankie, we gave you the piece that Fox 17 did here in Nashville and everything on Molly at the disability. And be sure you send that to Gina. She'll enjoy looking at that and everything.
Oh, everybody got that today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a piece that Molly is in a disability home, and just Molly just knows exactly what to do. When she puts that vest on, Canines for Christ, she knows that she's going to work. When she takes that vest off, if I get too close to her mama, which is my wife, she'll growl at me, you know, and everything. So, you know, she becomes all dog once she gets that vest off. But once she puts it on, Molly knows that she is working. Molly also had the opportunity about a year and a half ago to help the students up in Fayetteville, Tennessee, where that tornado had hit and basically destroyed the school. And Molly was able to comfort them, and Tima was so impressed by her, which is the Tennessee Emergency Management, said that we would recommend Molly anywhere in the state of Tennessee. So that was kind of
What a good doggy. I love that.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful. So you were in the Navy, and you traveled to 12 countries, and you were in Iraq and Afghan conflicts. So you have been in a really unique position and, you know, firsthand knowledge of what faces soldiers and their families that go off to war.
Sure, especially when I was in the Army National Guard. Yeah, you know, I was there during the Iraqi freedoms and everything, and actually was stateside, but I saw the effects of PTSD and what it was doing to individuals when they were coming home.
You've got some statistics, Ron, if you'd like to share those with us, maybe.
Yeah, we you know, we have found over the last few years, and this comes directly from the Department of Defense, we're finding that 22 vets tragically take their wives every day in America. One active duty takes their life every day. And it's because of this PTSD. And as Gina would be able to testify to this, you can have a one PTSD, which is I'm just struggling with the issues as I come back, mm-hmm. or it can be a four, which is suicidal, homicidal. So, you know, you can go – there's a big spectrum there of PTSD. And so we work with these statistics, and we're also seeing, like I said, over a 60% divorce rate just simply because the guy that comes home is not the same guy, or the woman that comes home is not the same woman when they left. And it's hard for people to deal with that. And then that's why we try to get people of faith involved, people in churches involved, to try to talk to them from possibly a biblical worldview to where they can look at it and say, hey, there is hope, and, you know, your life isn't over, and you can be able to move forward from this.
Yeah. What is the military? What's their position, and what are they doing?
They are doing a lot. I want to give the military credit. Over the last 5 years, they have really tried to concentrate on this. At Fort Campbell, which is right outside of Nashville, which is home of the 101st Airborne, they had 35 suicides in an 8-month period. And so what happened is the general closed the base completely down and just did what they call a two-day awareness of PTSD. And so he brought everything to the forefront, and all the Army started following his suit, and so they're really paying attention to this more than they used to. See, people had PTSD in World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, but it was never diagnosed until 1983. So, you know, it's now being diagnosed as PTSD, and they're able to work with it through medical doctors. They even got doctors that are trained now to specifically deal with PTSD. So, you know, the Army, just all the armed forces, my hat goes off to them that they are coming. And what we do as people of faith, we just come alongside them and say, how can we serve you and how can we improve on this?
Like, how important is it? Go ahead, Gina. No.
No. Well, I was going to say that it's wonderful that, you know, that they started to recognize it, because I know when my son came home from Iraq, you know, you see all these young men get off the plane, right? And they're completely different. You know, the boy that you sent into the Marines or the Army or the Navy or whatever, you know, branch of military they serve is not the same young man that you get back. And, you know, a bunch of moms, we live in a day of technology where we're all able to communicate and stuff. And it was interesting through the internet that we were all finding the same things, like my son isn't the same, or my son is quiet, or, you know, things go off and, you know, your kid bounces, you know. And we look back on the other wars and we think, how could they not have noticed this? I mean, you know, just as families, we notice these, you know, differences. And you know, being a part of the military, I was involved in a lot of support groups, and a lot of the people, like the wives and the mothers of people that served, like, in Vietnam, they literally said we were trying to get somebody to listen to us because we were saying our men were not the same, or our women were not the same, and we couldn't get them to listen. And so I'm just glad that we live in a generation of people who are finally, you know, paying attention to the emotional wellness of those who serve and not just the physical, you know?
Yeah, that's really true, Gina. And what we're seeing also is it's really affecting a lot of our reserve units that have been deployed so much, because these guys go and they do a regular job Monday through Friday, and then all of a sudden they're thrust into this and they aren't active duty, and it really does affect them a lot. We are seeing a lot of reservists come back with severe PTSD because they weren't prepared to see what they saw.
Right.
Yeah, you can't be, you know, prepared for it. And even as a mother, you know, when my son left, you know, I actually was told by another mother that I was suffering from PTSD because, like I said, you put your child on a plane, you don't know if they're getting your child back. You know, so the whole time, you know, somebody drives up the driveway, you have rules. Like, nobody drives up your driveway unless they call. Nobody comes after dark unless they call. And you don't mean to be that way, but with the internet, and so, you know, access to everything, you find out things on, you know, on the news station before you'd actually get the phone call. So it's just, you know, it's just, I think it's almost harder than, you know, back in the day where you didn't really get the news really quickly. So it wasn't like the whole world knew what was going on and you couldn't just watch it live, because when my son was in Iraq, I could watch what was going on in Iraq. And so, you know, as a parent or a sibling or something, and you're sitting back watching your, you know, thinking, is your child there? So, yeah, I can see where it would be, you know, very difficult. As far as the emotional wellness.
We kid around with our guys that go to MEPS. We tell them that when they get to their boot camp, whether it's Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, that the first thing that the company commander is going to do is they're going to take up their cell phone and put it in a little satchel, and they will not see that for 8 weeks. And I said, you may go through cell phone withdrawal, you know, because, you know, you're not going to be able, all you're going to be able to do is write. You're going to have to do what our parents did, write a letter, you know, everything. You're actually going to communicate with your mom and dad through letters, you know, and everything. And so, and I said, the reason for that is they want everything that you do to be concentrated on your training, so that when you do get out of boot camp and possibly get deployed, that you're going to be prepared for what may happen out there, you know, everything. And
right.
So we kind of kid them around a lot. They laugh about it and everything, you know, and I, you know, I've, you know, and they say, okay, I understand, you know, I won't have my cell phone. So they'll, on the plane, they'll say, Mom, this is the last time I can call you, you know. So it's,
hey, my son used
it's kind
to
of interesting,
me.
Yeah, and everything like that. But it's really not that bad. I mean, once they get in the scope of training and boot camp, as you know with your son, they didn't have time to think about anything else but making it through boot camp. You know,
and actually they get upset with us moms because we're worried and they're like, please, I'm trying to do my job. Stop it.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I'm okay, you know, and stuff like that. I just, you know, it's a lot more friendlier boot camp than it used to be, but it's still tough. They make sure that they are totally military when they get out. So,
no, I was wondering, though, like you shared a statistic with us just before we came on air, Ron, about the children of these soldiers.
Yeah.
Can you repeat
it's,
that again?
Yeah, it really is. I'm actually pulling it up right now. We have more than 2 million children that have experienced the impact of a parent serving 2 wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. About 1.5 million of these children experienced clinical depression. Now, that came from the Department of the Army 2020, what they were putting together, Generating Health and Discipline in the Force, January 19, 2012. So this comes directly from the Department of the Army, that 1.5 million of these children are experiencing clinical depression. So, you know, it's a real issue out there. The Army obviously wouldn't code it if they did not have a solid statistic on that and everything. And
yeah,
so
it makes
you know,
me wonder, though. It makes me wonder, the work that, you know, you're doing with Molly and at MAPS, is there a program for these families? Is there a program for children, you know, before their parents get deployed and while they're deployed?
Yeah, there is. We're actually presently trying to work with some National Guard units right now that are here in the Nashville area for Molly to come to some of the family readiness thing. Gina, you know what family readiness means.
Oh,
like
I
that.
Do, it's, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they go to the family readiness. So we're working with some things that may bring Molly out to that. Molly's only – this door with Molly is relatively new with MEPS. It only opened up about 6.5 to 7 months ago. So we're just getting them really on board with us, and then after that we'll get others on board with us. Fort Campbell has opened up their doors if we want Molly to bring her out. We've got so many doors we can't even walk through them all at this point and everything like that, because it's just, you know, they do want the help, and, you know, they do want Molly out there. So we're – you know, we are working especially with children to find out, you know, what their needs are and different things like that, and with families too. And we're also working with another organization that is a secular one, but it's a great one. It's called Training Dog Save a Warrior out of Texas. And what they do is they provide service dogs or therapy dogs for people that are suffering with PTSD. So we work with them to try to help our service members get a service or a therapy dog if they need one, because Molly can only go so many places. So,
right.
You know, we would love to be able to get them one. So we're working with them, you know, to see if we can provide and everything. We give them the leads and they go from there. So
I love that. Okay, we have a caller, a special caller, just one moment. Hello, Larry, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Wow, I'm great. We have Chaplain Larry Randolph with us, who started Canines for Christ. You might know him, Ron.
Yes, he's the founder.
He's the founder.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Welcome. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Ron's on our board of directors, so he's very important to our organization and is leading the charge, hopefully, to get more volunteers throughout the United States. We've had an amazing journey how God has blessed this ministry over the last few years. And as he may have told you, we have hundreds of volunteers really all over the country with these beautiful little creatures running around with their four legs and their red vest on, just making people smile and bringing out joy and happiness as they're visiting people in, you know, the hospitals, the nursing homes. We do a lot of work with the special needs and the disabled, and certainly, as Ron mentioned, we are very active with the veterans. So it's
right,
probably
right.
not not very many places that we don't touch with a warm message of kindness and love and compassion, as our Lord told us to do. So we're happy.
That's beautiful. Chaplain Larry, tell us how you started Canines for Christ.
Well, it's an interesting story, Frankie. I had a very successful career as a real estate developer, and I was doing that 7 years ago, and very clearly one morning, as I was very early, as I usually got up doing a devotion myself, I had this very strong prompting from God. Just the message came to me very clearly to start a therapy dog ministry, and I did not have a dog. So that was the first. Oh, okay, Lord, you know, you want me to do this? I'm real busy, but you gave me you told me to start a therapy dog ministry using your name and sharing your message of love to people. But I don't have a dog. That's kind of like
how crazy is that?
You must know how God works.
That is right. So there was a challenge on me, and as God has challenged many people in the history of the world that He leads, I did obey Him, and I said, "Okay, Lord, You lead me through this, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I'll trust You." So, make a long story short, I borrowed a dog. My daughter had a dog, a golden retriever, and I begged her to let me use your dog. So, we started with one dog, going to a nursing home. And I was just going to do this, Frankie, one day a month or just something to kind of volunteer my time with. But as God plans, He has large plans for us. We have small plans. So He started this ministry with this one bar dog, and it just started growing and growing. And after a year, I sold that business, and now I am the full-time chaplain that runs Canines for Christ. I have several ministry designations, and you know, have been able to be able to be the leader of this ministry that God directs, and it's just been a powerful growth. It's just been phenomenal. People all over the country are doing this. I don't even know half of them, and it's just amazing.
But did you have any experience with dogs or training dogs?
No, none.
No.
I mean, I had dogs. Wow. I've had dogs all my life, but.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I had no experience in therapy dogs. So
that's a great story, isn't it, Gina?
It's total God story, that's for sure.
it is. It is a God story. And, you know, like I said, I have the, I've learned, of course, about training and about animal behavior, and I feel like I know a good deal of it now. But in the beginning, I knew nothing. I was just said, "Lord, lead me, because I don't know what I'm doing." And He opened up every door. Every door has been opened into the hospitals, the disability centers, the prisons. We're in the prison system now, ministering to prisoners. And
wow.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, great.
Incredible.
That's
yeah.
Amazing. So anybody with a dog can do that? I guess the dogs have to be vetted?
They do. They have to be vetted. The requirements to be in the ministry is... really, the dog needs to be very sociable. It has to be a calm, gentle, non-aggressive dog, well-groomed, well-mannered, not so up on commands as far as, you know, you have to sit and stay for 20 minutes and, you know, lie mm-hmm. down and roll over. That's not important. The importance is that the dog needs to be able to approach people in a calm manner so that they can pet them and be nudged up by a warm nose on their hand mm-hmm. and just to sit there with them. Because what the dogs do is they release tension and anxiety, stress. As you're petting a dog, there's an endorphin that comes out of the person that is a calming effect, and it calms people. And mm-hmm. as people do that, they feel better about themselves. And I've been doing this for so long now, I've seen so many thousands of people. The stories that I get from people that come in contact with our dogs are just so warm. And then as we're letting them pet the dogs, we have the opportunity to tell them a simple message. God loves you today, no matter what you're doing. I was just at a hospital this morning, where I saw a number of patients in very serious conditions. And as the dog was leaving the room, my beautiful Labrador Retriever Gracie, they said, "Thank you for coming." And the simple message was, "God bless you today. We'll be praying for you." And it's a simple message, but it's something that brings a smile and a peace in somebody's heart, that we use these dogs to be the door opener so that we can go in and tell people that. So, Gwad, do you have a dog, Frankie?
I have a dog. I have a golden retriever. I do.
Well,
yep.
Maybe I'll recruit you.
You know, she's got three dogs. She's got a lot of dogs, and she has a comfort toy called Owie Bow Owie that goes into hospitals and works with children, because 8 million children who are in the hospital do not have visitors.
No.
Owie Bow Owie is their comfort, is their friend and comfort toy. Hey, Gina?
We're in the Toronto Hospital, so we need to get you guys in. So you can go to their website, and it's www. Letter K and the number 9 for Christ.
Yeah, I've been to your website. Yeah, awesome.
Your website,
awesome.
And you can email me, and I will start the process. So,
well, I thank you for calling. Is Molly?
We have a number of personalities that are in our ministry that are we've been on TV a lot, and it's funny how a lot of the newscasters that have done the stories with us, they like it so much that they've gotten their animals in it, too. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
I want to ask you, is Molly one of your superstars?
Molly is getting to be a superstar. She hasn't reached that level yet. But once they get over 400 visits, then they get a designation called the American Kennel Club's Distinguished Therapy Dog Award.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that is the highest certification that the dogs can achieve, and that's a very good certification. So we have my dog Gracie has achieved over 3,000 visits.
Holy
moly. A number of other dogs have hit well over 700 to 800. So
wait, how many years did that take her? Is that like how many visits a day? How many visits a day do you do?
I've been doing this. She's 6 years old now, so I've been doing this since she's been 5. I gave her a year to be a puppy, and then after that I trained her for therapy dogs. So she's been out for 5 years, you know, most every day visiting people. So so she's a real active dog, and loves her day. She, if I don't go somewhere during the day, she's not happy with me. She needs to get out and see people.
Well, she has her job. She has her job. Thank you so much.
She does.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting us be on your show. And as I said, if you're any of the listeners or any of your staff there would like to be part of the ministry, I just relayed on how to get in touch with us. And, you know, we would love to. You're out in Las Vegas, right?
No, I am in Canada, and Gina's in California.
Oh, Canada. Okay, why did I get Las Vegas out of this? I don't know. But,
I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, she is a superstar, so that could have been it.
Okay,
oh, that's
Larry.
Funny. Just input there. Larry and I work a lot together in some other issues, too. That's the reason why sometimes I'm helping Larry. And Molly's only been doing this for a couple of years. Molly's at 352 now on her visit, so we just got just a few more to go before Larry will fill out the paperwork for us.
Nice.
To be able to be her a distinguished one. But yeah, Molly gets out as much as she can. She also goes to churches with us, too. We're going to 3 churches at least this summer, and we go to children's groups, and we talk to them about responsible pet ownership from a biblical worldview. So it's a lot of fun.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And what would that consist of?
What'd you say? I'm sorry?
From a biblical worldview.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Responsible pet ownership from a biblical worldview, and we springboard off the book of the verse in Proverbs that says that he who treats his beast or his animal is what his character is. And so God takes it very seriously how you do. And I just heard from the National Police Department here, when they go to the house and there's been a severe abuse of an animal, they automatically look for a severe abuse of a child. They say it's the same criminal MO. So
it usually starts
right? What I'm sorry?
They say it usually starts with an animal.
It starts there. It starts with animals. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
And I know Larry's done a lot of research on this, too, domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it holds on to the person when the person threatens to kill their animal or something, you know.
Oh,
so it's a very serious thing. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's horrific. Yeah.
Is Larry still there?
I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, great. I just want to make sure that I, you know, kind of explain that one of the reasons that I, you know, that Molly hasn't gone probably as many as we could is because I do some things being part of the board and everything like that. So it's just, you know, and everything.
Oh, it's okay. Molly will get there.
Yeah. Just wanted to let you know, yeah, that I, you know.
Poor Molly.
But I am taking actually Molly out a lot more than we did. I mean, we're getting opportunities. And Larry can say this, too. Larry, wouldn't you say we've got more doors that we can even walk through right now, you know?
Well,
we can't
yes,
even walk
we,
through them, you know?
We just got our first or second international volunteer. So if you're in Canada, you know, you certainly would not be excluded from being in this ministry. One of our volunteers is now in Germany, so with her dog sharing this wonderful message that we have. So
she's actually originally from Nashville, and I met her at a Petco and gave her my card, and one thing led to another, and she's got approval of the American Red Cross to use her dog in Germany up there and everything.
Wow!
So
do you have to be? I know that you're called Canines for Christ, and you know it's about the canine. But is it about the owner, too? Do you have to teach the Bible or do anything like that?
No. You don't have to teach the Bible. Most people don't know the Bible that well. You have to be a Christian. You sign a statement of faith that you are a believer and that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And you're representing Christ when you go. It's called the Ministry of Presence, Frankie, because the uniform that the dogs and the people have are the vest that's a red vest that has special insignia, Canines for Christ. It says it right on there in bold yellow letters, and then there's a card that we pass out. It's a little card. It's like a business card, and it has a picture of a dog on it, the name of the volunteer, and, of course, Canines for Christ. And on the back of it is John 3:16, the 25 greatest words in the Bible, and a prayer. And that card is used to give out to people as you're leaving a room or leaving a person, and that's your kind of your Bible message, basically. You don't have to say too much else unless a volunteer is prompted to by that person. So we're not in-your-face ministry. We are a more of a ministry of presence where God is present with us. And what happens, though, very frequently is that people see that when you walk in and they'll open up to you. But that's not required. We don't require you to be a theologian or a degreed scholar here. It's just simply a volunteer that wants to serve.
Yeah. Okay. So they have no training and with people or anything like that? Okay, just a dog?
No. The dog opens the door. So if you're shy and don't know how to say God loves you, well, that's fine. And once you go in to a facility, the dog will do the rest for you. He will kind of open up or she will make it happen. And then, you know, as people get comfortable, then they can proceed into other areas of faith as they dictate. So it's real interesting how many people have tried to do something in the community and it just didn't click for them. In this type of a service has really opened up a door for them where they can do more with their faith and serve in the community towards helping people.
Right.
Well,
that's awesome.
Well, and I think for Christians, too, it's more about service. I think sometimes because, like, I design, you know, a dog for kids, and I would say, you know, dog spelled backwards is God, so I don't have to say anything. I can pray before I walk in the room, and I can, you know, give them a hug as I walk out, and I know that, you know, God will do the rest. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of power in that, because you know that you actually don't have to do anything except,
that's neat,
you know,
I always
except
tell
be present.
Before that I heard a statement a long time ago as a young person, I've never forgotten, it says, don't tell me I have a friend in Jesus till I know I have a friend in you. Don't tell me about a God I cannot see until I see that God actively working in your life. And I know Mary would say amen to that, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't be telling people about a God they can't see unless they see that God in us, you know, and everything. And
exactly.
So, that's really
Gina
rude.
And I talk about that a lot. I think.
Larry, real quick, Gina, tell Larry what you do. I think he'd be real interested in what you do with your, as far as your son's concerned.
Oh, okay. Which part? I'm sorry.
The
part ongoing
about
part?
A PTSD and everything.
Oh, yeah.
About the PTSD and all that.
Yeah, I'm actually part of a great group of individuals who started this group called Hope Lives There. And what they're doing is they're going to put a group of individuals that are going to walk across the United States that kind of changed over the last couple of days, and we're going to go into communities and towns, and it's called I'm Going. And what we're going to do is we're going to tell people when we're coming into their community, and we're going to call all the veterans out, and we're going to take a list of all their needs. You know, what do they need? Do they need medical care? Do they need help, you know, with their PTSD? Do they, you know, need a ride to the doctors? And then we're going to compile that list, and then we're going to go out within the community and find volunteers to help them and connect them with organizations that are already doing this stuff. Because we find that, I mean, especially in my world, people want to do things, but they don't know how to do it. And they don't know where to go, right? So unless you're, you know, your personalities are like ours where, you know, we wake up one day and God calls us and we're like, okay, let's go, right? You know, you're not going to know what to do. So people like us, I believe, has, especially like a Christian, it's kind of our responsibility to join people together, all people together, so that they can see that they can actively do something. And you don't have to be, you know, a Christian to serve somebody. You just have to, you know, raise your hand and say, you know, how can I help you? And so I'm really excited about this. So we're calling the campaign I'm Going, and it's basically we're saying I'm going to help a wounded veteran. So I'd absolutely love to add what you're doing to our website as we get going, because, like I said, there might be so many people that want to do what you're doing and go in and visit, you know, the veteran hospitals and things like that with their service dogs. It might be an amazing, you know, amazing thing.
You're doing a wonderful thing. I commend you for that, and I – you know, we live in a very narcissistic world here. It's all about you. I mean, me. And what you're doing is opening that barrier to letting people get out of the me syndrome and to do something for other people. And the world can only be a better place by what you're doing. And I really think that it's an awesome project, and we would be honored to be, you know, put on your website and be, you know, considered to be part of this. So thank you for offering that and what you're doing. And any way we can help, we would be happy to.
Yeah, no, my job is just, my gift is just seeing, I love people and I love when they love to serve other people. Because I don't think there's any greater gift than serving someone else, because, you know, it's through them, you know, through service that we, you know, that's where we meet Jesus. That's what I believe.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
That's where we find him. So when people actually think we're walking in the doors to do something wonderful for them, we're actually, you know, receiving their love back tenfold. So, you know, any organizations like yours and other people that are doing stuff, absolutely. Because people, you know, I'd hate to rob somebody of joining your organization if that's, you know, if that's in their heart. So, you know, so thank you for
having
me. This is amazing.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention too, Gene and Frankie, and is that Canines for Christ also has $1 million liability insurance on every single dog that's out there. So that really brings comfort to a lot of these organizations that you go to, because they go, "Whoa, the dog was covered by this," you know, and everything.
Well, not on every dog. That's the total. I'd have to have $400 million worth of insurance.
Okay, I'm sorry, Larry. I'm sorry. That means the $1 million. It just means the dog. Every dog is covered out there by something, you know.
That's right.
Sorry, Larry.
And not your sleeve.
Because if that's the case, I got four dogs, and I like to put them underneath your insurance policy.
Yeah, that's right. And stuff. It's covered by it. It just means that if something goes wrong, but you know, Larry, you can't even recall a major instance that's gone on, have you? You can't even recall one, can you?
We've over the course of the years, thousands of visits all over the country, we've never had one incident that's been reported to me. So, as I said, God has really blessed this in such an amazing way, and so many people have been visited and seen, and that's not saying that we don't know if there'll be an incident, but we certainly will, you know, we do have an insurance, liability insurance cover to, you know, cover any kind
question.
Of a situation that may occur.
This
yes,
is
ma'am.
Frankie. Since we're talking about the dog, and how many dogs are we talking about that are out there? 430,000, did you say?
We're not the over. Yes, and 400 in probably about 20 states right now.
Okay. And are
really
people,
all over the from California to Maine to Texas to Minnesota, we have them all over. So
okay, and Canines for Christ is getting donations.
We are a 501(c) nonprofit, so we do solicit and certainly would welcome donations as appropriate. The money that we get in goes to paying for the supplies for the volunteers when they get their get the ministry started with them, as well as we donate back to the community in such ways as the Hope Lodge, which is the American Cancer Society. We do a lot of work with them. Wounded Warriors, and Ron knows we've provided funds mm-hmm. for various projects that he has used gotten to us. Many other things that we feel led that as long as we're involved with an organization like American Cancer Society or Shriners, that with
right.
our teams, then we also provide funds for them in certain areas as they are needed. So that's how the donations come in, and that's how they go back out again, basically.
Can I make a suggestion? Because,
sure.
you know, these dogs are doing amazing work, and I mm-hmm. think that possibly some kind of underwriting of their medical care, of their veterinary care, might be something really nice to do. They have to get shots every year. They've got to get, you know, they get ear infections, they get whatever, and it might be nice if they got a little bit of that care.
That's very interesting comment, and I'm writing that down. I'll look into that. Very interesting. So
yeah,
that may be something
that
we can take a look at.
Yeah, one thing I did mention, Larry, that that we do sometime too, if the Lord opens up the doors, if there is a service person or a person struggling with PTSD that may need a service dog or a therapy dog, that we will do our best to try to fit that bill if we can. And I told him that I would come to you personally on that, and that you would pursue it from that point on, you know, and everything. And
sure.
so,
mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
right.
You know, I love synchronicity, and that's, you know, this my show is about really radio, you know, doing good in the world, and one of my core projects, another of the core projects that the Good Radio Network supports is an organization called An Active Dog. And Mark Verone was a guest on my show, and Mark has painted 5,500 dogs, because 5,500 dogs are killed every day in shelters. So the shelter world really needs your organization to come and grab those dogs and turn them into therapy dogs for these vets. And it's a beautiful match made in heaven. And, you know, I really hope that you guys will think about doing that a bit more.
Well, I think Ron is involved in that to a vast extent. And as we find a veteran, we know that we've tried to match up in the past a veteran with a dog, and absolutely all for that. I'm a veteran myself, and have trained my dog for PTSD and traumatic brain injury, so I know the requirements for that, and they do amazing work for the veterans and anybody that has PTSD. The gift that they can provide and the help that they deliver to help these people is amazing.
Awesome, that's great. So who's got a great dog story? A therapy dog story. Tell me something amazing.
Okay. I'll tell you one, and this happened several years ago. When this is kind of like, okay, God, you really want us here? This has kind of led me into this more than I ever thought. And we were at the Veterans Hospital. I do a lot of work. I'm a volunteer chaplain at the Veterans. There's a giant hospital in Tampa, Florida, called the James A. Haig Hospital, and it's one of the largest VA hospitals in the country, and it's a trauma center, a major trauma center among the general hospital. But as we were visiting there, and I'd gotten approved as a volunteer with the dog, and my wife was with me at that time, and she goes with me a lot, still does, but we were visiting a patient in a room, and for several weeks, he never said anything. He's very quiet. He always wanted to pet the dog, but he would not respond, he would not talk, and we didn't even know if he could hear. And the nurses were said that he had been that way for months. And one day as we were in, we did the same thing. We always went into his room. We always, talked to him, and the dog always came up and petted him. I mean, she petted the dog. He's always never really smiled a lot, though. So, but we never gave up on him. And but we always said to the message, you know, well, God loves you today, and we'll be praying for you. And as we were walking out of the room, I heard this voice. He was singing Jesus Loves Me. And the nurses came in there and they said, this is like amazing, because he hadn't even spoken in months. And he was all of a sudden, you know, he had turned around and his whole countenance had changed. We turned around and he was singing Jesus Loves Me, the biggest smile on his face. And God had opened a window in this person's mind, I believe, by us being in there on a regular basis, where he could see there was an authentic person or people coming in to tell him that they cared about him, and that he started this. You know, it was powerful, and I've got a lot of stories like that. I'm going to write a book one day, and I do keep a journal on my visits every day, and so. You may be seeing a book out here one of these days with all these amazing.
Well, I've got a great story. This is more of a funny one than anything. About 6 months ago, Molly and I, the Nashville Police, one of the precincts is just a mile down the road from us, and I know the commander there real well, and they like us sometime to come in on the afternoon shift, and Molly's just there, and it just brings some humor to everything. And so Molly went in there one day, and the sergeant got up. As you know, with police, they get up and do their briefing. This is what's out there. This is what we got to watch for, you know, different things like that.
Right.
And he kept going on and on and on. And finally, Molly, just in the middle of nowhere, yawned and went, "Arr!" And everybody died laughing and said, "Sergeant, that means for you to sit down." And the sergeant immediately just sat down. That is funny. Now, that was funny.
That is cute. She's got good timing. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so anyway, then. So we, you know, not only with vets and everything, but Molly has Molly's done a great job with some of our policemen here, too. Molly is on a list of things if they need something with the Murfreesboro DA right outside of Nashville has her on the list to do child abuse or domestic abuse cases and everything like that. So, you know, these therapy dogs can work anywhere. If they know what they're doing and have the personality, God will just continue to use them.
There's another Owie thing for you, Gina.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow,
absolutely.
Gina's Owie Powowie. He's an amazing dog, and he comes with a bandage that can be moved to wherever the child is hurt. You know, they can mimic this child, and he has no metal parts, so the dog can go through X-rays and you know, any kind of procedure that is in the hospital because. You know, they can hold this dog and he doesn't have metal in him. So it's safe and hypoallergenic and everything else. What else can you say about Owie?
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting because I've been meaning to align myself with an organization that goes in with the dogs, because I think I've been there several times when, you know, you're with the dogs and then the dogs have to leave, right? Because they can't stay with the patients forever. Obviously, the dogs have to go home and be with you guys and eat and sleep and all that kind of stuff. But I thought it would be awesome to work together to where we actually get donors and I give you Owies, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you go in, your dog, you know, is, you know, presents them with an Owie. So that way they actually have a comfort companion to hold on to after your dog leaves. So, you know, because a lot of people,
have,
you know, it's just a really good tool. So maybe we can discuss that further on how we could actually work together to leave them with something.
I'll hook you guys up after.
Yeah,
it's
sure. That'd be great. Yeah, and you know, we've got emails and cheap. Yeah, Larry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said you got some great suggestions, and you know, our purpose is to expand and grow and get some more four-legged little furry ambassadors out there, and so we would love to connect with you.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, because we're both doing the same work, just a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same message, same hug.
Yeah, I always tell people that are out there doing these things, you know, I said at the end of the day, we're on the same team. We need to understand that, you know, and everything. We really are. You know, we're on the same team out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's one of the hardest things that I have found, and I don't know about you being a nonprofit, because I'm also, you know, 501(c). And it's been really hard to find people that want to partner with me. Because, you know, some people, you know, they have the idea that, you know, they started this nonprofit and they don't want to add anything to it. But I always try to say, we're all helping the same people.
Sure, yeah.
You know, we're all, whether you're military or you have cancer or you're in a retirement home, you know, whatever your circumstances, you could come in with your dog and then 5 minutes later, I'm coming in right behind you. You know, mm-hmm. so if we work together, that's 20 more steps that we don't have to take because somebody else has already done it.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
and then at the end of the day, you know, they remember your organization as far as giving them the gift, and they don't even know who I am. You know, they remember Canines for Christ because they came in and gave them a gift and a hug and, you know, and they're talking about you for the next 10 years, you know, no matter whether it's a dog
or... Even the church I go to, a church of about 700 to 800, and it's a Southern Baptist church, and it knows that Marilyn and I are with the North American Mission Board, but they don't worry about that. They always come in, how's Molly doing? What's Canines for Christ doing? You know, so there is what else we're doing, you know, because every church has a bunch of dog lovers in them, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, dogs are intimidating, and you know, I'm sure that you know this, being in the comfort world, and I think that's why even I, you know, God put it on my heart to create a dog, because mostly, unless you've been attacked by a dog, like I was bit by a dog as a child, but I never had a fear of a dog, right? Dogs are approachable. Everybody loves dogs. Even you know, men and women that don't like people, they love dogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where a person walks in and they might be, you know, standoffish, don't talk to me, you know, and then you walk in with your dog and it's like, oh, come here. It allows them the freedom to not be intimidated to ask for a hug or ask for help or something. So, you know, God was very wise when he designed the dog.
It is.
And pet therapy has been a proven therapeutic results and benefits of that are well documented, and over
Absolutely.
The last 15 to 20 years, you know, nursing homes, hospitals, many facilities are very much proponents of it and advocates of it, rather. And in fact, we have a video that we were on Christian Television Network about a few weeks ago, and I might have one of your email addresses, but I can send you a video. You'll see it was taken in a hospital. And the actually administrator of the hospital was all going on and on and on about how the pet therapy program there had benefited his psychiatric patients. And it'd probably be something maybe y'all would like to see. So if I can get your email address whenever, or you can email it to me if you want to through the website, then I can shoot you a video of this, a YouTube video of the pet therapy segment that Christian Television Network had done. It's quite interesting.
Now, that's a good thing. Do you have a like a YouTube page for your Canine for Christ that we could just, whoever's online, we could just go to that page?
Yeah, it's youtube.com/canines, that's C-A-N-I-N-E-S, the number 4, Christ. And one is called YouTube Canines for Christ Fox 13. That's one of the Fox stations did one. And then the second one is the Canines for Christ Pensacola, Florida promo video.
Okay.
And those are two videos that were done this year by television stations, television networks, and just showing the ministry and its actual visits of where we go and what we do. And I'm on the segment, both of them, so. You'll get to see me talking about the ministry and how it, and you'll see my dog Gracie. She's a white Labrador Retriever, among other dogs, cute little critters. And it's a fun video to watch, and also very inspirational because you'll see actual patients talking about how they have been benefited by the ministry. These are the disabled people that we deal, and they actually saying, you know, what they think about the visits and how we've met a difference in their lives, so it's quite interesting.
How long does it take to train a dog? Is it different for every dog, or do they go? Is it like a 10-week program, 6-week program, longer?
It's different for every dog. I have to say that the retrievers, the golden retrievers, and the labs, and the Australian shepherds are probably the smartest of the dogs, and it doesn't take them long. A couple of weeks, maybe a month, because they're kind of more sociable and more friendlier and easy to train. Some of the other little dogs are a little bit harder, but it's hardly any dog that can't be trained as long as it's a people dog. And that's really the criteria. They have to love people. And if they are, and other dogs, there's some dogs that just don't like other dogs. And that's kind of a problem, because in most of the places that we go, you are going in by yourself with your dog, but there are group outings that we have, and certainly there are group sessions that in all communities that the dogs get together. And, you know, we cannot have any aggressive dogs or fighting dogs that come into the mess. That's not a therapy dog.
Right.
It doesn't,
right.
That doesn't help. It. That's not the definition of a therapy dog at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah. But on so average, how long? Like,
would
the people,
you know,
come once a week, or what? How does it work?
Well, it works because, well, first of all, they have to go through and get the American Kennel Club has the, what they call the Good Citizen Certification. That's
okay.
A sociable. That's a 10-step process of getting a certification from the AKC, which is the largest therapy dog organization in the world, and we are one of their approved organizations, and that's a very very good credibility thing, because as a therapy dog group, you want to be approved by a very high level supporting
for sure.
organization, and the American Kennel Club basically says you are approved as a creditable organization to provide therapy and certifications for your dogs. So anyway, the dogs have to have that, provide that to us. We do it in the local area ourselves. And then in outside areas like Ron, he goes to an evaluator in your local area, and every area has an American Kennel Club evaluator. There are thousands of them, and you get a certification after the dog passes the test, and that allows them to come into our organization with that certification. From that point on, they go and either work with a volunteer that's in that area towards doing an on-the-job visit, what we call training visits on the job, and or you start out with a local mall, Home Depot, Lowe's, taking the dog into sociable settings as long as they have the vest on and they have the criteria with them. So most of the retail establishments that I just mentioned are all on board as far as training, service, and therapy dogs in their establishments. So we've never had an incident where we've gotten kicked out of any of the they're not service dogs, they're therapy dogs, so you can't take them in the restaurants. But you can take them kind of almost anywhere else as long as they have their vest on and their ID badges. We do provide ID badges for all the dogs and the volunteers. So, what's that? That's the general requirements, and it could take anywhere from a week to maybe a couple of months, depending on the dog and the person and their time. This is all about volunteer time.
Beautiful. That's great. I think everybody, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to do that now that they've heard how fun it is. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk to Ron about, and maybe everybody can jump in since everybody's in the military world there, the PTSD coming home and, you know, not having a job, not being helped with work, that's kind of a real downer. And I know that Walmart put a program together to hire vets. Has anybody else done
sure.
anything?
Sure. I think that a lot of your organizations have, a lot of your places, I know that Kmart has, Target has, a lot of your places are hiring vets to work jobs and everything like that. Yeah, it's because it is tough sometimes for a vet to get out, and you know he wants to do something but he can't do something in his field, so he has to do something else. And you know, these organizations want to get the vets an opportunity to start working at least somewhere, you know, to get them going in the right direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Target just closed down all their stores in Canada.
Yeah, Target. I'm sorry, I just realized that when I said it, but Kmart does it too and stuff. Kmart is the one, and Target was doing it when they were open. Just, you know, and everything. But you have a lot of places out there. Home Depot's doing the same thing. Lowe's is doing the same thing. And you're finding every major company is at least sympathetic about what vets are going through out there right now.
Right, yeah.
And Sears has always been, in my book, number
Sears
one,
has
because
too,
when
yes.
nobody was
yes.
hiring vets, they were hiring vets, and they give families off. They were amazing. And discounts for products.
They
I
are.
Mean, they were the first
and
ones.
And Sears still
away,
is amazing.
So.
JCPenney is amazing with that too, and everything. And so it's, you know, these people really try to get them started again and everything like that. And it's great, you know, getting them to go in the right direction. You know, working with their two hands, you know, and everything. And so
what do you find is the biggest factor for their PTSD? Just the stuff that they saw?
I think it's the thing they saw. Larry, I know, has been a rapid response chaplain before, and he's seen this. It's sometimes survivor's guilt. Why did I live and they die, you know?
Right.
You know, or they get home and they feel like their family has changed and they feel they're the same, so they'll start putting the blame syndrome on their family. Why have you changed while I was gone, you know?
Larry, I'm sorry. Yeah. I got to stop you because we got 35 seconds and I have to say goodbye. Look at this. Time just ran out.
Thank you.
I'll
have to do it again.
Ron Leonard,
well,
Larry Randall,
do it again.
Gina Renee.
Hey, thanks. It was fun.
Thank you so
well,
much. I have connected you all. Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much
for having us. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. Bless
God
you
bless
all.
You. Okay. I'll talk to you soon, Frankie, okay? And Gina and Larry, I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
All right.
See you.
I've connected you all, so you have an email from me. Take care.
All
bye-bye.
Right.
Bye-bye.